did.
Let's talk about these things then, not his table. These are very, very interesting subjects. So I would welcome any more discussion about it.
I think I started reading the same book that Paul had read, and my question was, it's a statement from the created Pleiades, and they are saying that our gods, some of them are reptilian, and that kind of threw me. I don't...
Threw me too.
Me too.
You are touting exactly what I'm talking about. You are listening to the Pleiadians. Who the hell are the Pleiadians?
They don't say.
You listen to cosmic consciousness. Who the soup is that? And now you probably are going to think I'm going to knock Barbara Marciniak, who speaks for the Pleiadians. I have knocked her. Confronted her personally. Stop this nonsense. What do you mean from the Pleiadians? How many stars are in your solar system? Anybody? Well, there are more. By 10 times at least in the Pleiades system. So who is this group of Pleiadians with serpent gods? You can choose up whichever god you want. And if you want a serpent god and it comes from Pleiades, take it. I choose the lighted god of creation, who also comes from Pleiades, and he doesn't mind identifying himself. That is like listening to group consciousness. And I want to tell you, most of the groups on planet Earth, it ain't worth hearing. Why do you think a group consciousness from another physically handicapped planet somewhere in a galaxy millions and millions of miles from you would be any smarter? Quit resting your truth and your life in more life. I don't ask you to rest your soul in Hatton's hands, for goodness sakes. But the least you can demand from the energy that speaks to you, if you're going to recognize one of them, is an identification. And you can ask this group consciousness, who do you serve? Well, I serve God. Oh, will we? I see he wears scales and a serpent's tongue. I'm sorry, God of Light doesn't need scales nor a serpent's tongue. But he seems to need some blithering woman to speak for him. No, he doesn't. You do. He will send you what you need. I like for you to read these books when you have opportunity and time. Because of these very things. These are tiny little things, but they are tiny little clues. Does that mean all of the information that, quote, these Pleiadians bring through Marciniak are not valid. Of course not. Almost all of them will be. And you better believe that a lot of ones coming from Pleiades had a god with a serpent symbol for their master. And that should be the red flag going like this. Does it mean you cannot accept the truth that comes through there if it feels right within? And the fact that you have questioned and you recognize the question says the red flag went up. These are the greatest teachers of all time. And as the student at the final exam, you must make those decisions. As a teacher and a guide and a resource, I can help you reach your conclusion. But I can tell you, oh yes, that's right. And you still will either believe it or not believe it, according to what is already made up in your mind. If it is truly open, you will listen to my logic of presentation, and then you will make up your mind. So all I will have been able to do is impact a little bit your thought process. So always ask God within to help you. When the red flag goes up, say, okay, what do I really think about this? What have I studied? What have I been taught? What do I know about this? Not what some discarnate voice has told me. What do I now know about this? And if it truly is, I really don't know enough about it, then you will, and you care enough about it, you will go seek it out. So I certainly, you know, this is another thing. Obviously, we are on trial, just like the Scopes trials. We're on trial before the world. And if we were not on trial before the world, even this Doris Eckers, who would ever have heard of the work in the first place? Look at each given situation for the jewel, the gem, the prize that might be held within. Well, Dorma thinks she doesn't need any more of this badgering and BS and assaults. And yet we said from the beginning, and they have twisted this, turned this, used this against us. How else are you going to get anyone to listen, to see, to check, even curiosity, if you don't have something that calls attention to it? My truth will stand into infinity, I promise you. And yet you don't have to go out there and tell the word, Hakon, that nerd promises me. Don't you see? You're dumping your own responsibility again. You take a stand on something because you know it to be true. That is the only truth there is. And there are myriads of ways to reach that truth, but there is only one truth, and it will stand into absolutely infinity. And you ones will limit infinity for yourselves by right here at this physical level. And that's the truth. And you may feel any way you want to about that truth. You see, the difference in you and me is that you must doubt that truth. I know that truth. And I have one saying, well, you would not even make the mistake of misspelling a word if you were so hot. Wouldn't I? Wouldn't I? You better think that out again, too. You're trying to prove to yourself the lie. Not the truth, the lie. You look for every little tiny chink that you can cling to prove it to be a lie. Instead of going with the assumption that it may be truth, and if it be truth, then it needs some tending. And if it's not truth, it sure won't hurt me. I can only gain in knowledge and expression. It certainly can't hurt me. But it's up to you. And I'm going to repeat. When energy forms come as a collective, beware. It doesn't mean there is not truth there. It means you're treading on dangerous ground. And even in that statement, there is massive truth. The serpent god. The Antichrist. The negative energy. The one who will restrict and imprison and enslave your soul. And we have to get back to the spirituality of this, not the religion of it, the spirituality of your connection and your infinity, your infinity. You have to be reminded you have an infinite self. And efforts have been made to downplay that and laugh at that and mock that to the point that it seems trite to speak it. It just is, and you don't have to get out there and preach. You just have to know within that what you're doing is in the right direction for progress. And if at first you don't believe it, try it. Play in it a little bit. It's going to be whatever else you've got going. The world is bored. The world is scared. The world is rotten to its core. What do you have to lose? Your soul. And the old joke of, well, I don't care because all my friends will be down there. You'll care. You will care. Because hell is the absence of light. It is writhing in the darkness of a total void of God. No peace, no rest. A searching, longing for something that in that environment you cannot even imagine. And that's what's going on within each being now. Searching, searching. There must be something better. There must be something perfect. There must be something that gives me peace. Even if you think you're not searching, something inside is searching. And that's why there's so few atheists in a foxhole. They call out to that which is higher than themselves, even if they don't recognize what it is. Somebody up there, look after me. What it is doing is very often programming that subconscious higher self into your protection. Taking power over your circumstance and situation. Don't dump it off on somebody else. Your problem is not somebody else's problem. They can help you solve it, maybe. They cannot do it for you. And when you put your soul into the hands of a collective group of Pleiadians or Marcians, or Arthurians or Cardassians or Star Trekians. You've abdicated responsibility. And you better hear the truth that comes through that. Because they always will get their truth out there too, and you will misinterpret it.
Commander, I'd like to make a comment about that book. I've read a little bit of it. I noticed some real hard insinuations throughout the material. One being that they actually admit taking over this planet and spreading all that bad news and making everybody believe it. The second insinuation that goes all the way through the material is that those who may understand this material are definitely considered renegades to them and that may be able to change it. And so the insinuation is that there are people that would read this material, including us, that would understand what is being said and pick up the real truth in it, and then we would be considered renegades that would be somebody to get rid of. They insinuate that throughout the whole material of the book.
Yes, and they cover their fannies quite nicely, don't
they?
Right. On either side.
That's right. Both ways. It looks like you're good on, like you said, to the right and to the left. Nothing in the center.
And the, also the inference is that God comes from Pleiades.
Yeah.
Pleiades is a constellation.
That's the right God.
Pleiades comes from God.
Well, God doesn't come from Pleiades or Earth. God is.
They also
you.
Talk of the...
He is the center.
They also speak of a so-called prime creator instead of a creation. So they put it in a physical form of manipulated words that would give you the impression that there is a God above them that's in charge. And he's a physical situation that is called a prime creator.
Like Mormons.
Exactly, the same stimulating words. And that would begin to twist the fact that creation is a massive thing, and it breaks it down to one thing. And they twist all those words pretty well. But there is some truth to what they say about time and people and what had happened in advance, because they know it very well.
Well, you see, here will be another clue. And now Norma just really shrinks, because there's been no confrontation. She's had several, and she didn't know whose book you were talking about. But from onset, there has been back and forth, at least recognition and knowledge of Barbara Marciniak. And you will find not the denial of Hatton. There may be misspellings of my name, and they will all, once again, covering their fanny in every direction. But the discounting will come against Doris. You see, there is no Pleiadian energy. There is no lighted energy of God that does not know Commander Hatton. None. Zero. Zip. Zilch. And I don't care whether they denounce me or they do not. If they literally come telling you that there is no such being in my position, they lie. So they will dance around the... It's like asking someone, do you come in the light of holy God, of creator God? And there is the dancing around, you know, the circle. Well, what do you mean exactly? Of course I come. BS.
Yeah.
You either do or you don't. Answer me. See. Who are you? I'm Yorgos Hatton. I come in service to Holy God of Light. What's wrong with that? That identifies me. You still don't know who I am until you sort out and recognize my energy and make conclusion about it. But I certainly am not going to dance over the little pinheads. I'm going to tell you exactly who I am, what I'm doing here, and you may take it or leave it. Or wait to come into your understanding. Foolishness denounces either one until you have enough knowledge upon which to make a conclusion. But you will find those energy forms rarely wanting to denounce the God that speaks here or the truth that comes here. So they'll take on the speaker. They'll take on Hatoon. You will notice these little clues. Because the energies feeding those ones will not dare take on my truth. And therein lies the truth of it. Not a speaker. And you won't know until you experience enough out here to become aware of these things. It is not something that pours over you like a syrup or a snow cone. You have to look. You have to be willing to open your eyes. This is another thing. Don't read that stuff. I tell you to read everything you can. How else are you going to be able to know the right from the wrong? I will tell you always how to judge truth. And you look for your clues. And you don't have to ask someone else after you as a student have arrived at graduation. And you'll check those red flags. And sometimes even the error is going to sit right with you because it will be so nearly right that you will simply have to wait for it to unfold. What role will this one play in my unfolding? You're not nearly to the punchline yet, precious ones. And that subtle attack against you is going on all the time. Well, who else out there can I listen to? Well, if you're getting truth, why do you need to go out there and keep on researching it endlessly? But I ask you to do that regardless, because I want you to be sure your infinite beingness is important to you. And if you don't make it the most important focus of your existence, I have failed as a teacher. And you are destined to repeat the grades. And that, quite frankly, is appealing to a lot of you. But the ones of you who have reached your graduation will feel a definite longing within to be right. So you can move into your higher purposes. I don't have to argue with ones on that point. We can argue and debate once again until hell freezes, which is forever. You will still have to come to your own conclusions. And upon that, I rest my case. I rest my case, my existence, my thrust, my mission, my purpose on God. God, Creator, who can create and manifest anything in the universe from the universe. Satan is limited to a physical plane of expression, dealing, tampering, manipulating, labeling, misleading, misguiding, tinkering, toying with your physical existence. Whether it be from sexual ecstasy, pain, agony, whatever you want, to your limits on your soul. That is his curse. What he appears to create is not creation. He has manipulated, managed to gain control, puppet masters, that which is physical to your five senses. And the you he manipulates may or may not be the you that is infinite. His intent is to gain control of the you that is infinite, to bind you to the ignorance of the physical, which is his domain. He is the tester. He is the toyer. He is your antagonist. And it will always come out that you will fold, you will buckle under several different pressures as thrust against society as a value measure. If it's sex this week, then you'll measure your own worth against sex. If it is gold this week, you'll measure it against how much gold you can get. You will always be required to measure it, though, against something that in the higher realms has no value, no reality. And that locks you into a mental perception of your higher beingness, into the restrictions of a physical environment which is really very, very low, very primitive on the soul growth pyramid. And then he'll tell you there's no reincarnation. You don't come back. Well, maybe you don't come back here. Maybe you go to that planet on Pleiades that serves Satan. There are 178 billion with a B in your Milky Way galaxy, there are inhabitable planets. 178 billion of anything is a lot. That means that there are 178 billion places where man is experiencing, or plant life, or the ability to sustain human life, as you recognize it, exists. Some better than others. I want to tell you, some are really pretty rotten. And those are the places you go according to your level of development to develop. And you're getting ready, all of you in this room, to transition into a much better perception of expression. And yet so many of the ones about you will limit themselves to this primitive expression. You're already trying to go back to dinosaurs that you outgrew a long time ago. And you think this is the new God. Well, these things are created, and you can now, through absolutely what you witness and consider reality to your physical being, can genetically, DNA, recreate a dinosaur. So why do you think it's strange that you might have replicas running around? Why do you think it's strange that if you take Giandriano with an ability to perfect your own cellular blueprint, why is that strange to you? You can accept a test tube baby, an in vitro pregnancy, and you cannot accept the fact that even man could maybe give you something that would recreate your own cellular structure? And if man can do it, surely this God you think is everything might be able to help you. And if you are using it to perfect yourself for a very positive reason, I don't care if it's because you're scared to death and I just want to be able to go up the light beam. That's a start. You at least want to go in the right direction. And it's sure going to hurt you. What do you think it's going to do? Make you take on another load of some kind? Well, if you come into responsibility, but that's not my fault. So what makes me evil? What makes Doris evil for saying this? She doesn't like my plan anyway because she has to stand out there in the yellow jackets changing the formula for the bath for these little blessed beings. And I have to get it into that perspective for her because you have to understand that that's all she sees. She's not given into any other seeing other than to unfold it just like you do. And it looks like a damn big job to you. How come I can't just plant more Vitaspell? Why do I have to change into a common? You have to change into common because God sent common and it'll grow. Man's tampered with Vitaspell. After 2 years, it won't grow. You didn't even get a harvest this year. And something about spell. Common spell would have produced 10 times the yield on that same land with nothing. You lost the crop because water was late. Blessed millers made sure you finally got some irrigation. Well, why didn't I just tell you this right off the bat? You wouldn't hear me. You didn't even know what spell was. You have to crawl. And then you come into the perfection of being able to walk. Count the blessings that led you to this, because now you can come into knowing what to do with equipment to do it and do it right. And you're going to find that in rotating these common spell fields, you're not going to do very well with the common spelt after 2 years. It's going to deplete its soil of some of the things that can be replenished right away. Rotate those crops every second year. And you don't have to go very far to find what to replace them with. Soybeans will be your major source of protein. Rotate those crops every 2 years with soybeans, then 2 years of corn. Plow back in as much as you can after you have gleaned everything from the atmospheric portion of your plant for future use. Spelt will take less than a fourth of its nutrients and everything about it from the soil. All of the remainder will come from the atmosphere. It's water, it's everything. Anything that you give it above that is a blessing. It is the food sent forth by God, from God, with you. It and several other things. You can do it with red lentils instead of soybeans. But red lentils and soybeans are basically improved by man. So take the improvement. Man is given great talents. Use them and use them wisely. There are so many versatile things you can do without meat and cows if you have soybeans. You can make milk from your babies from soybeans. From lentils, the substance is not whole enough for an infant. God will show you the way. You will do it. And anything that pulls you from that path, be it Course of Miracles, the Holy Bible, anybody, anything, any entity that pulls you from the truth of God is evil. There are varying and sundry degrees of evil. Maybe you develop devil. Evil exists. Don't say, I don't believe in evil. Because the definition of evil is simply that which pulls you from your path to perfection in God. So it helps to know where you're headed, to evaluate whether or not you're being, you know, pulled away. God will provide the knowledge and show you the way, but you must walk it. And I know you resent having to walk it for a planet full of zombies. Well, so do I. And if the zombie dwells with you, it's even harder. But you must allow the zombie the right to exist. You do not owe the zombie your God-given responsibility to perfect self in his reflection. And in that you can be giving enough to the zombie with you to allow it to stumble along in its own way until it either makes it or breaks it. You do not have the right to move back into zombieville. You can't do it. You can no more move from knowing back into unknowing than the most remarkably opposites that you can think of. There is no way. So don't pretend. Don't pretend and don't lie to yourself. Everybody has to try it once or twice. Most of you have already tried it once or twice, so why pound yourself to death with it? Because it's uncomfortable today, I'll try it one more time. Why don't you cause that one to try your way? Because you have obviously not negotiated, you have compromised. And sometimes those consequences are very painful. It's like an alcoholic. Keep covering up and meeting the need of that one, and you become a total support system for that one's weakness. You are just as addicted as that one. And until you make that one take its responsibility for its own behavior and action, that alcoholic must finally say, I'm an alcoholic and I did it to myself. Because you know, as well as I, that you blame. And the farther you get into an addiction, the more you blame somebody else because you don't want that responsibility. You don't want to hear about it. And so you break down, and I will never do it again, darling. I don't want to hear about it. Well, you ran over all of the neighbor's garbage pails last night, and they called the police. What do you usually do? As a supportive system for this alcoholic, you usually go gather up all the garbage pails, pay off the neighbor, etc. No. No. No longer. Each will meet each's responsibility. And if you knocked over the garbage pails last night, Hakon is going to tell you, you knocked over the garbage pails last night and you're in sad, sick trouble. Don't come to me. God, get me out of it. And learn to know the difference. And if one can come in here and listen to these words and go out and say, I'm evil from some little spacecraft in Pleiades, they haven't heard me. and that makes everybody much more uncomfortable. I'm not going to read your stuff. I might find out truth, and then I have to be responsible. And this one doesn't bend. What about that turkey? He doesn't bend. You know, I can even vote something in and the preacher will accept it. I can just refuse to give him any money and the preacher will change his story. What about that nerdnik? Think he's going to tell me. And then he just says, if you don't like this, precious ones, it costs you nothing to be here, go. No, it's up to you. And don't start saying, well, I would prefer that you do this over in Sedona. I'm not going to do it in Sedona. I'm going to do it in Tagalog. Anybody who wants to do it with me is you're welcome. I didn't say with the Eckers. Did you notice, everybody? I didn't say with the Eckers. In fact, they may get to be an embarrassment to me. So let's understand. And you better believe it. When I'm ready to, I'm going to set the biggest craft you've ever laid eyes on right on North Tehachapi. And I wouldn't want any of you to miss it. And I don't care if you just drive up for the weekend. I'll try to make it on a weekend. I don't want to interfere with anybody's plans.
In August 95, right?
Commander? Patricia?
Yes.
And I just come back from St. John, and I gave him some of that new guy, Andriana, and he immediately had a reaction to that one. And he seemed to be a very good spirit. And I did talk to the lady supervisor and his area, and she said he is doing much better. And so I mentioned to her about what I saw as his predicament and what we could do about it, if anything, because I wanted to clarify whether he was totally incarcerated and not allowed to get out on his own. And she said that's correct. He is allowed visitors at any time. There's no restriction on visitors who come to see him. And that he's supposed to be having a meeting with his doctor tomorrow and some other supervisor was on during the week to see about his mental state. And I did indicate to him that he should see if he could demand getting himself out of there. Of course, I asked for your assistance.
Well, as we move along here, handle it very, very gently. Let's not even begin to think about allowing him to be pulled in before any magistrate for any decision such as that until he is strong enough to know exactly what he's doing. Mm-hmm. We don't want to jeopardize his position, because the only thing that we must want for John is his freedom to be amongst his friends and be productive again to the level of whatever he is. If he had no place to go, that would be one thing. He has no place with Eleanor and family, so you must be his family. And God will not forsake his children. And you must not forsake your brother. Up until now, John has been clouded enough in his thought processes. He had damage. He was already having occlusion and damage to brain cells. And then he had this minor stroke which caused him to fall. And he did hurt himself. let us not under any circumstances push this river before there is full preparation for his ability to make it on the outside, if you will. There are plenty of loving friends and loving hands, and the most gracious, beautiful thing that you can do on either side is bombard him with visitors now that you know that he can have them and they're not weeding them out on the blacklist.